Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in the from Seattle in the United States. During the first hour, I'll be interviewing a fascinating gentleman named Simon Parks, who will be speaking at my Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, here in the United States, on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2018, next month. The conference is a UFO and healing conference that will bring life-changing information to those who attend. For those who'd like to come to my conference, the website for registration is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. During the second hour, I'll be interviewing one of America's best psychics, in my opinion, is Judy Kelly. She's an amazing lady, and I'm so happy she'll be coming on my show during the second hour. The purpose of Out of This World Radio is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest-growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with well over 160,000 listeners in over 70 countries. And we're growing every day, and I thank you so much for your beautiful support. Next month, for my conference briefly, I'll be bringing in Simon Parks as well as Michiko Hayashi, the Immortal Peace Project, Shirichiro Yoshinuchi, a famous Hado instructor from Tokyo, Dr. Cairo Roca from the Bahamas, he's a famous naturopathic doctor. Dr. Angel Fernandez from the Dominican Republic. Professor Jerry Pollock from the University of Washington, another famous water scientist. Sidney Kirkpatrick of the ARE Edgar Cayce Foundation, who will be there in person giving a presentation on Edgar Cayce. Judy Kelly, who will be on my second hour today. Carolyn White, PhD, an aura reader, speaker, and author, wonderful lady. Teresa Carroll, a local psychic, Tom Palladino, a famous scalar energy healer from Florida, Robbie Holtz, an Australian Aboriginal healer. Now, she's an amazing lady, and if you can come, be sure to meet her. Tony Rodriguez, who was in these 20 years in the Secret Space Program, and Josh and Adam Beagleson. I call them the blood brothers of Dr. Harvey Beagleson, an amazing scientist and doctor who used to treat people using the same techniques Dr. Emoto did with water. He'd take a couple of droplets of blood, look at the blood under an electron microscope, and he could diagnose and help people with whatever physical condition they may have. Of course, I'll be there as well, giving a lecture, a presentation on what I call messages from the masters, messages from great spirits such as Professor Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, Nostradamus, and a host of other wonderful spirits who have many messages to give you. In addition to the conference on March 12th and 13th, there will be demonstrations of the Hado vibrational healing machines. These are the same machines that Dr. Masaru Emoto used to successfully treat 10,000 people before he passed away in 2014. These machines are unique in that they go back 7 lifetimes, and they can determine the karmic reason why you're sick, either physically or spiritually ill. Usually you can only get treatments in Tokyo, Japan at the Emoto office, but here you'll be, for those here in North America who would like to come to Olympia, Washington, you'll be able to get these treatments on March 12th and 13th. In addition, during the conference, we'll be showing the North American premiere of the movie Reading by Edgar Cayce, on Edgar Cayce, by the famous Japanese film producer Tetsuya Shiratori. And also Sidney Kirkpatrick, who's on the board of directors for the ARE Edgar Cayce Foundation in Virginia, will also be giving a presentation. So for those interested in learning more about Edgar Cayce, this will be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do that. There are also discounts for students in active military. If you want like more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com, or you can email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Simon's been waiting patiently on the line now, but before we go to his interview, I'd like to thank everyone so much for their support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know if we all work together, we can create a much better and happier world. I also have a television program called Out of This World TV, which broadcasts 3 times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays on Channel 22 in the Lower Puget Sound Seattle area. There are now over 50 episodes available on YouTube or in the Seattle area on Channel 22. I want to thank everyone so much for their support, especially Marku from Finland, Jan Rosini of California, Anita Curtis from Dublin, Ireland, Dorothy from Montreal, Jason in beautiful North Vancouver, British Columbia, Shirley and Faison in Florida, and Mary and Elias Neuschwanger from Costa Rica. In addition, I'd also like to thank the Crystal Voyage Spiritual Center in Tacoma and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon, for their support. I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's designing my website, and my friends in the Galactic Alliance and Off Planet, who've been supporting my show, My Angelic and Earthly Family, and Eric, my producer in KKNW. Carol lost her father recently. I'd like to ask everyone listening today to please send her lots of love and light to her mother, Marge, as well as love and light to Masako Michiko Hayashi's mother in Japan, who had a stroke last year, as well as Ben, my friend Orion in Bend, Oregon, who's been diagnosed with throat cancer, and my friend Dr. William Mount in Tacoma, Washington. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I can teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who passed on, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. And with that, I'd like to bring in my friend, Simon Parks, who's coming to us live from England today. Simon, hi, good evening. How are you doing today?
Good evening, Ted. I'm doing very well, thank you. Lovely to speak to you again and to your fantastic audience.
Oh, well, thank you, Simon, so much for coming on today. And I know it's late there. It's 2:10 p.m., but here, and I'm sure it's, what, about 10:10 p.m. there?
Yes, you're spot on there. It's around about then.
Well, you have an amazing background, Simon. You've had lifelong contact with extraterrestrials and many other ET forms which cannot be identified. You'll be speaking at my conference next month. Thank you so much, at the Galactic Wisdom Conference. And you've written that your lifelong experience of aliens, shadow peoples, elementals, and UFOs. And your mother worked for the British Security Service called MI5 between 1965 to 1979. Your grandfather was a British diplomat, also worked for the foreign arm of the British intelligence called MI6. And you've had an amazing background, and you have a radio show as well. And I really like what you have to say, Simon, and I always feel honored and privileged whenever you come on my show.
Well, that's very, very kind of you. Thank you. I'm really looking forward to presenting at the conference that you're organizing. That's going to be really exciting. You've got some fantastic speakers. And I like the fact that you're also doing the healing side. I think that's a really great thing. I suppose I've had an interesting background, an interesting childhood. Mm-hmm. And I always say that strange things happen to interesting people, but not everybody would want to go through or see what I've seen. So it's not about, isn't it exciting? It's, well, this is what happened to my life, and what was I going to do with it, Ted? I could either just be quiet and say nothing, but I decided that the news that I had, what I realized to be true, was just too big to keep to myself, and that I had to share it. And I just had hoped that people would believe me, and I was so pleased when people listened to me, did their own research, and then, it took them on their own journey. So in a small way, I've played a small part.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful, Simon. Well, one thing for people just tuning into the program now, we have a wonderful guest named Simon Parks coming to us live from England today. Simon, you're human, but your soul has an interesting background. Would you mind explaining that to my audience, please?
Sure. Well, I guess
Yes,
of course. Those of us who are enlightened, and I think that's everyone listening to your show, realizes that the physical body that we have contains the soul, and that's, of course, very clearly understood in many religions. But my soul contains three parts. One part is of a human type, one part is of a mantis type, and one part is of a reptilian type. Mm-hmm. And I'm just very, very fortunate that these parts work together in unison. I don't want your audience to imagine three separate bits all bolted on. And then you're saying, well, who will I be today or who will I be tomorrow? This is a unique working environment. And I'm not the only person. There are a number of people that have more than one part to their soul. And, you know, as I go through life, I'm privileged to meet these people. So, yes, it's human, mantis, and reptilian.
Wow, amazing. How did that come about, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't have the full knowledge on it. I'm convinced that about 225 to 250,000 years ago, I had two parts to my soul, which was human and reptilian. And then in this lifetime, or getting ready for this lifetime, I had a mantis element added. And that is why many of my experiences since a very young boy have been with the mantis creatures. And I think that that was because this was the incarnation. This was the lifetime that the mantis part would then act as a catalyst between the reptilian and the human part.
Fascinating. I know there's been conflict between the reptilians and humans, both on this planet and other places in the universe in the past. But perhaps with this unique background that you've got in your soul history, Simon, you could conceivably act as a diplomat between the different factions in the future. Do you think that's possible?
I think that there are a number of people on the planet now who either themselves have a mixed soul, or they are in a relationship with a person with a diametrically opposed soul. And every time we make a decision for good, we push the needle, we push the meter one way towards the positive. And every time we do something that's negative, we push it back. And I think that everybody on this planet, everybody has the capability now, not just to empower and evolve the human race, but all of those other races that are looking at us and saying, well, look, if those guys down there can do it, then we can. Certainly, when you have a human and a reptilian part to you, there is the potential for conflict. But the in my case, the mantis section sort of mediates between the two, and it's been a fascinating learning journey for me. Literally, I don't look on the reptilians as the enemy. I look on them as a group that need to be given the opportunity to heal and to advance. And then it's free will, it's entirely up to them. And I think that all of us on the planet, by making good, positive decisions, help others to also make good, positive decisions.
Sure, I couldn't agree with you more, Simon. I think the time for conflict on this planet is passing now, actually. And as the Dalai Lama said at a conference in 2012, evil as an experiment on planet Earth is ending now, and we're entering truly a new golden age.
I do agree, but I would just add the caveat that as our canoe goes over the rapids and we can see the clear water ahead, there are a few rocks in the rapids just before the nice clear water. So I do think we're going to get some bumpy ride before we reach the the promised land, but before we reach the environment that we're all striving for. So it's not a done deal. It's still going to be difficult.
Sure. Well, I know that in terms of vibration in the planet, the Schumann resonance has gone way up since September of 2016. For thousands of years, it was at 7.8 hertz, and then it doubled during the month of September 2016 to almost 14 hertz. And since that time, it's somewhere over 200 hertz. I think this is indicative of how the vibrations are literally rising on this planet. And with it, a lot of negative entities and people who are negative will feel like they don't really belong here anymore, because that kind of negativity, and both in thought, word, and deed, doesn't really have a place on planet Earth anymore.
I couldn't agree more. What's happening from my perspective is that good people are getting better and evil people are being or seem to be choosing to be pushed into the other direction. So it's a very polarized group. It doesn't seem to be a gray area anymore. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I think many of your listeners will have picked up on is as the Schumann resonance increases, our perception of time is changing. Mm. So we're having less time. Time is speeding up. Right. We have less time, but the physical tasks we do at work or in the home, whatever we're doing, those tasks remain the same. So let's just take from A to Z, and those are our tasks. From A to Z doesn't move. But if I take time and I'm reducing it, we are finding we're getting less and less time to try to do the same amount of work. And the number of people who they're not awake yet, they're not spiritual, but they're saying, for goodness sake, what's happening here? Right. I used to be able to get these jobs done by coffee time or by this time, and I'm not getting them done. And this is because the spiritual energy is speeding up, but the physical material is actually staying the same. And those of us who are aware of that are because we're advancing, we're energetically moving forward. And our physical bodies lag behind. They are moving, but they're lagging behind. There's this sort of time delay. And that's what's happening on the planet. And it's because of the Schumann resonance increasing all the time.
Wow, that's fascinating. Thank you so much for explaining that piece of the puzzle to me, because I've had the same experience. I feel like an hour just blink and it's gone. And even our Earth scientists say that we're losing, can't remember, so many minutes or seconds each month now. And it's becoming a very real thing. And I think eventually, from my conversations with Nostradamus, he said this process would be, originally it was supposed to be complete by the year 2038. Well, thanks to our good choices, Simon, Nostradamus tells me now that that's been moved up 10 years to 2028 from 2038. So now we're condensing down even faster, and it can theoretically go much faster, too, depending upon our free will choices.
Yes. Well, that's really good news to hear, because I think I'm going to echo everything, everyone, by saying it can't come soon enough. The quicker the better.
Well, I have some tea right now I'm drinking, and I'm going to say I'll drink to that. Believe me. Can't come soon enough. Believe me. Believe me. Well, I want to keep the program positive, and I want to mention this only in a positive light. But there was that scare in Hawaii here a month or two ago, where that there was this so-called false flag of a person in emergency services in Honolulu hit the wrong button or something, and I had heard that there was actually a missile fired at Hawaii, but it wasn't from North Korea. It was from some negative elements who wanted to start a war with North Korea, but that missile was subsequently blown up, as well as the submarine where it was fired from.
Yes, that matches everything that I've been told. It is interesting that there's a small group of people that seem to have quite a grip still on some of the elements of power. We would think, obviously, of the United States president as being the man, the office holder that would control everything, and that's not the case. There are rogue elements. And it's so awful if we think back to our history, where it was always expected to be the Russians that would attack Great Britain and the United States.
Sure.
And then it became one of the other Eastern countries. But here we are, we have completely insane small groups of people within the United States who, for some reason that I cannot fathom, want to start another war. But you know what? The good guys are outwitting them every time. It didn't work. It didn't happen. And it was prevented. And I do understand that even the ex-President Clinton was actually on a vantage point watching this, expecting a certain thing to happen. And of course, it didn't happen.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't heard that. That's fascinating. Yeah, that's fascinating. Well, it's I'm looking forward, like you said a few minutes ago, Simon, to this process being completed. And the good changes can't come soon enough.
Yes.
You know, we have chemtrails here being still sprayed here in the United States. But I've been told that the Galactic Alliance, for example, has been working behind the scenes to stop the program. And then when I asked them a date, they told me last year it would be 2 years. So we're looking at next year. And frankly, it can't stop soon enough. For that, there's also problems, of course, with Fukushima. But I know that from my friends off planet that that the Galactic Alliance and the people of the Hollow Earth who have advanced technology have been cleaning up Fukushima since it happened in March of 2011. For example, back in 2014, there was a huge plume of radioactivity from Fukushima that was headed right for the U.S. West Coast, for Seattle, Vancouver, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles. When I had tests done on the ocean water off Seattle, Simon, in May of 2014, all the radiation was gone. And then my galactic friends said that they'd come in and clean it all up. And they're continuing.
I can absolutely agree with that, because if we looked and understood from genuine bona fide scientists, the effect that we should have seen on much of the marine life and the coasts would have been catastrophic.
Sure.
That is not, you cannot deny that. That is the way it is. But that has not occurred. And the reason it's not occurred is because somebody came in and did something that from our science, we couldn't possibly understand how they did it.
That's right.
But that's the proof of it, because otherwise we would have had a huge emergency along much of the coast of the United States, and we haven't had that.
Nothing. Mm-mm. And it's always amazing to me. I don't know what it's like over there, and I'd love to know, have your opinion, Simon. But here in the United States, there's no mention of Fukushima anymore. It's like Japan doesn't exist. But the fortunate thing is that it's getting cleaned up. Is there any mention of Fukushima there in the press in the UK?
Well, interestingly enough, no. And that is because the threat is diminishing. As the threat diminishes,
right.
So both sides are not playing it up anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I wanted to ask you, too, you know, people always ask me, Simon, how can they make this world a better place? And I'd love your advice. I know I have many listeners around the world listening as to how they can make this world a better place.
Often we think that we are powerless. Often we think that we are a small individual in a great big machine and there's nothing we can do.
Right.
That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
That's a message given to us by the system, because it doesn't want us to act.
Right.
The first thing that we can do is believe in love and truth, and we can believe in ourselves, and we can form small groups. You can form groups of like-minded people. You can share news, share information, and you can do good deeds, not just for those in the group, but those outside the group.
Mm-hmm.
And you can demonstrate to others how you believe life should be. So in other words, you don't have to go and give all your money away. That's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
What I'm talking about is when you are in the store, on the sidewalk, wherever it is,
mm-hmm.
and you are interacting with people, treat them in a way that you would like to be treated yourself.
What a beautiful idea.
Demonstrating that it can work, that there is another way to the normal hurly-burly of life, and I think that's what we're aiming for.
In my conversations with President Kennedy, he's told me many important things, but the two most important for today is that the kinds of changes he tried to institute back in 1963 before he was assassinated on November 22nd, 1963, came from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
But because this planet is destined to ascend, destined to become a much better and happier place, the kind of changes happening now are from people like you and me talking on air today and all my listeners listening around the world, coming from the bottom up. And that comes from people treating, among other many things, is treating people in with love, respect, and kindness in your daily, day-to-day life.
Absolutely. And this is the point that I think President Kennedy was the right man in the right place, but at the wrong time.
Absolutely.
The frequency of the earth, the consciousness of humanity hadn't reached the point. But by dying in the way he did, it actually kickstarted a lot of consciousness in people all over the world, because Kennedy was the people's president.
Mm.
He wasn't the elite's president. So when Kennedy was taken out, it was the ordinary man and woman on the street who felt that they had been cheated, that somebody had been taken from them. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those pivotal moments in history when human consciousness began to question.
Wow, what a very profound statement, Simon, and President Kennedy is completely agreeing with you on that. I've always thought it was tragic that he was assassinated, but you put it into a different light now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, Simon, what do you see for the coming year in terms of world events and for the next, like, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years out, short, medium, and long term?
Okay. There's a 30% chance. It's not high. It's a 30% chance of a medium-sized earthquake off the California coast between the 1st of March and the 15th of March.
Okay.
So I want people to keep an eye on that. There is a, in the next 10 years, there's a, oh, I beg your pardon, the next 10 months, there's a outside chance that an EMP device might be activated. And that we will be told that it's a natural event, and much of the US could be blanked out. What I want to emphasize here is there's not going to be a loss of life. This is not a disaster. You know, it's not the end of the world, but there are, it looks to be that there's a potential for a number of issues to come our way before we make it through to the happy days, as I would call it. And this is what I was trying to say earlier, that there are going to be, and there will always be, these group of people who do not want to be part of the community. And they will do whatever they'll do, and it has to play out. But ultimately, when it's played out, these people will have nowhere to go. And there'll be nothing, there'll be no audience, nothing for them. And so we will then, as a group of positive people, move forward. All I'm trying to do is just to alert people that it is not a done deal. There are still issues. You mustn't give up your fight. You mustn't give up your belief. Mm-hmm. Don't sit back in your armchair and say, well, you know, we're going to do it. It's all going to happen. It won't if we give up. We have to keep strong and we have to believe.
And I think one of the most important things you said a minute ago, too, is that we are all powerful spiritual beings meant to create a better and happier planet.
Yes. Well, that's why we're here. You know, it's no coincidence that we are, you know, if I say the intelligent life form on the planet, therefore it falls to us to make the choices. As much as we love our cats and our dogs, that is not their role to make the choice. It has fallen on us. That is why we're here.
Well, that's why your work is so important, Simon. And you know, the earth, this chance of an earthquake next month, what I'd like to do is ask everyone to send lots of love and light to California now in a moment of silence, and bathe the entire state and the waters off the coast of California lots of love and light so that there won't be any chance of an earthquake next month. I have many friends in Los Angeles and the San Francisco area. It's a beautiful state, and Mount Shasta is a beautiful place, and I wouldn't want to see them harmed by any earthquake at all. So if we could all spend a minute now just sending lots of love and light to California, and I'll repeat this next week through March as well, just so that there won't be any kind of disaster happening there. Thank you. Thank you so much. And This EMP device, would that be triggered by another foreign power attempting to harm the United States, or is it?
No, it's an internal. It's the same group that staged the shooting, the latest shooting in the school,
in your
country. Same group of people who are responsible for that. I don't know if you're aware, but the name of the school. The school carries a name, and in name, if you look back in your history, is the name of a very effective campaigner who didn't want the Florida swamps drained, and they campaigned very hard for the wildlife to prevent the Florida swamps being drained. And the school where the shooting took place is named after that woman. Now, if you think of President Trump talking about draining the swamp,
right,
you begin to understand that the shooting there was a direct challenge to him.
Oh,
so if your audience go Google the name of the school, and okay, then they look in the history, they'll find this person who was very active, and that's absolutely no coincidence that the shooting took place there.
I have the name. I just Googled it. It's called the name of the school is called Marjorie Stoneman Douglas.
Okay, and if you then Google it later, and you'll find that she was quite famous for her campaigning work.
Oh, that is really interesting. Really interesting.
Well, the trouble is, you see, that the American news is still not fair and square, as we say in Great Britain.
Right.
And there's a lot of stuff not coming out to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but that will change. That will change for the good.
Yeah, one of the things that's been bothering me on the internet, they've come out with stories that the so-called victims of this shooting, and I'm saying this with all due respect to the Florida families. I know people were killed there, and I want to send out lots of love and light to them. But some of them were actors brought in by some nefarious agencies to make things worse. These actors are hired by the federal government, and they go from shooting to shooting. And I don't know for what purpose they would hire these people to have them show up and give these false accounts of what happened. I don't understand it, frankly.
You're quite right that there is usually always genuine people who are genuinely injured or killed.
Right.
And that happens. But what the reason for these actors is that they have cameras already pre-positioned, and what you are getting pictures of is the actor's part. That is why they do that, because genuine ordinary people who are caught up in that tell the truth. Mm-hmm. They don't act, they actually do, because it's really happening to them.
Right.
And therefore you don't get them acting, and what these bad guys want is people to act in a certain way, and that's why they bring these people in. But the other thing I'll quickly say is that you're detecting the same people in many of these false scenarios, and the reason is that the vast majority of people will refuse to take part in something as horrible as this. So their group of actors is dwindling. It's smaller and smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're seeing the same faces, because nobody really wants to do it.
Hmm. Interesting. There was the face of a young man who CNN interviewed here supposedly right after the shooting. And his same face has been in Los Angeles at the shooting there on August 17, 2017, in that area in California. And here he shows up again in Florida. Same fellow, matches everything, and he's giving the same kind of story, an actor. So,
you've got to be completely mad to want to organize these things.
Mm-hmm.
And all of your audience, including us, we can't grasp why anybody would want to do that. And this is what you were saying earlier, Ted, that the division is there, the resonance is increasing, and these people are being left behind because they have no future in a world of beauty.
Hmm.
And that they have still time to change.
Right.
There is still time for them to throw away their old shell and take the new life. There's still time. But if they don't do it soon, it'll be too late for them.
Well, with that, I'd like to ask everyone around the world listening today, please send lots of love and light to the victims of this horrible Florida shooting. And it's beyond my comprehension how anybody could do that to anybody in a school like that. And and I hope this sends them some good healing. But I agree with you, Simon. I don't think our media, especially here in the United States, is telling us everything that's going on with these horrific events.
No, and you know, you've got a president in there that the super elite can't control.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't control him, but they are still control elements of the media. They still control elements everywhere else, and that's where they're manipulating. Now, what these bad guys don't have anymore is the control of the military. Now that's a really key point, that the military now is refusing to play any part in this nasty agenda. And that's why we're seeing things moving in the way they are.
Interesting. I remember it was last year, I think you explained it to me. I can't remember where we were on air or off air, Simon, but you said there were clear divisions, differences between the different branches of the U.S. military. That the
Yes.
U.S. Navy was different from the Army, which was different from
Air Force,
right?
Yeah.
Which was different from the Coast Guard, and
yes.
And the distinctions is very interesting. Would you mind, if you don't mind, going over those distinctions?
Surely, that's why the United States Navy, ever since Forrestal, have played in a key role in alien intervention. You know, we think about the great American fleets with their aircraft carriers able to project air power to any corner of the globe, and that's truth, they can do that. And so if you think of the Star Trek films,
right.
The Star Trek Enterprise was called a ship. And so the Navy has always had this role, but the Navy has been a bit different, a bit separate, and so it's cultivated its own history, and that's why the Marines now are some of the most loyal to the Constitution, and President Trump represents the Constitution. So you'll find that the Marines are the ones that will be used for any special operations, not the SEALs necessarily, or Delta Force, but indeed that. And Trump has actually been creating or upping his own special military force, probably no more than 250, 300 troops who are operating or will operate specifically to the president. Now, that's unique. Before, what's happened is that Delta or SEALs have detached units which have then gone and done something, but this now is a separate group, which is almost like a royal guard, but they are ones who are uncorruptible and believe in the Constitution. So you have a military now which is much more behind the Constitution than it was 5 years ago. You have an Air Force, which is the difficult one at the moment, because it is the Air Force, United States Air Force, which operates an arm of it, the secret space program. So you've got the Navy and the Army quite central, and at the moment you've got an element of the United States Air Force, which is a little bit outside of normal operations.
And tell me a little bit about the Army. My dad was in the Army for 30 years, and I've always had a lot of respect for the Army.
The National Guard were the first units to become fully pledged to the Constitution. The regular units then followed after President Trump brought so many generals into government. And at the moment, I don't know if you guys are following your own news or whether indeed you're getting your own news, but the National Security Advisor looks like he's going to be got rid of, but you're potentially, and the you have a chief of staff at the White House, potentially also could be got rid of. But I've been told that President Trump still has confidence in the general. So you might find that the general holds his job, but the other one loses his job. It's imperative that Trump maintains the support of the military, because the military are very, very anti-politics. They don't like the politicians. They feel the politicians have ruined America. And there is a battle playing out. And I do believe that that Trump is beginning to get the upper hand.
Interesting. I have to tell you a little story. I had I had both Randy Kramer and Corey Good on my show in the past, and in my conversation with Randy, they were both soldiers in the secret space program, and especially Randy. I asked him. I said, Randy, why are they allowing you to come forth with this disclosure about the secret space program? And he said, because my commanding officer ordered me to do it, and I decided to go ahead and do it, accept his orders. And that was very interesting, because then, and I said, well, what's the basis of that? He said that there's, as he was part of the Marines, and there's a special force, there's a Marine unit that was created by President Dwight D. Eisenhower back in 1959.
Yes.
And the reason why that date's important, because that's the year that President Eisenhower tried to gain entry to Area 51, but it was been, at that point, had been taken over by the reptilians, and they wouldn't let him in. So finally, President Eisenhower threatened to order the 6th Army out of Denver to Nevada to forcibly take over this American base, which was already taken over by another species. At that point, the reptilians and the people running Area 51 backed down and let his representative in. But that was the last time any representative from the White House has gone into Area 51 to look at anything. But the outgrowth of that whole thing is that President Eisenhower, in a executive order, created this separate Marine unit, which is designed to defend the U.S. Constitution and act as a counterweight to some of these negative influences within the military, and that's what Randy Kramer's his unit is part of.
And that is what, yes, and that's what I was saying earlier, that what Trump is doing is expanding that unit. Mm-hmm. And if you think about Robert Heinlein, when he wrote his book Starship Troopers, mm-hmm. that is exactly what he's talking about, this elite Marine unit.
Mm-hmm.
So with the removal of people like Kissinger, who now is busily running around, even at his amazing age, nearly 100 now, whatever he is, I've lost track.
Right.
But with Kissinger doing things regarding the gold and the American economy,
mm-hmm.
And he's taken off from the politics, and all of the other very difficult, nasty characters we had during the 80s and 90s,
mm-hmm.
with them now out of the picture, the focus is narrowing. We will never get another 9/11. We'll never get another Fukushima.
Wow.
But we are getting smaller problems. So mm-hmm. the problems are smaller, but they are becoming more prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
So where you might have had one or two big situations every 5 or 6 years, now we're getting 4, 5, and 6 a year, but they're much smaller.
I have to tell you a story, and this wasn't mentioned in our U.S. media. But in November of 2016, I heard about this from my friends in Tokyo. There was another alleged earthquake in the Sea of Japan at the same location as Fukushima occurred back in March of 2011. And people in Japan were very uneasy for about a day or so, because they thought there was going to be another tsunami hitting the Fukushima reactors again. But what happened is that the Galactic Alliance, from my friends off planet, told me this, came in and neutralized the effect of that so-called earthquake. And actually, it was an atomic bomb that that some negative elements placed at the Sea of Japan, which they wanted to cause another Fukushima to disrupt the reactors, and it never happened. The tsunami never happened. Nothing happened, actually. And I told my friends in Tokyo, I said, you're being protected by the Galactic Alliance and by positive forces, and don't worry about it, because another Fukushima is not going to happen, and it didn't.
The only thing I can add to that mm-hmm. was that the device they attempted to detonate was a nuclear torpedo.
Mm.
So it wasn't a bomb in the sense of the understanding, but a nuclear-tipped torpedo.
Okay.
And that's what didn't work.
Interesting. Well, I want to empower people on this program to let them all know we're powerful spiritual beings, and we have a very bright and beautiful future ahead of us, and we're getting help. And it's not a time, as you said, Simon, to be complacent, just sit back and do nothing, but to think positively about the future, because there are good things coming for us, especially our children and our children's children.
Yes.
I was going to ask too, Simon, we've got about 10 minutes or so left. What else do you see for the future?
Well, I actually see a really good future, and it's in our lifetimes. Aren't we lucky? We could have been born 100 years ago or 200 years in the future, but we're so blessed because we are the people who are going to be here on this planet during the changeover. Now, my generation, I saw the interesting moon landings in 1969, which were sold to us as the moon landings. But I went through that in my own country in 1971. We changed our coinage. We changed from the traditional system to a decimal system. I have seen key things, but none of those match with what I will see in the coming months or year or so ahead. We have the most amazing chance to keep a record and say, I was there, I was part of that. And we need to write books, we need to keep a diary, we need to ensure that the records of the future truly reflect what has happened and that they're not skewed down one direction or another. So I would just say to all of your listeners, celebrate every day that you're alive because you came to this planet to do some good. You didn't come here for a vacation. You came here to be positive. And we are going through the most exciting time. And that's why everyone off this planet is so interested in us.
Fascinating. I've heard that we have a lot of visitors off planet watching or actually listening to the show today too, Simon, listening to what you're saying, both of us. And they're really enjoying it. They're all nodding in agreement. But you know, I have to tell you, when you started talking, this whole studio lit up in lights, and that's always a good sign that I've got angels and higher spirits here. You have friends in high places. I think we both do, who are present with us today.
Well, sometimes we need them because you're like me. You won't turn a blind eye to something, and you do have principles, and principles cost. And I don't mean cost in money; they cost in determination and strength. And whatever help we get, I always say thank you very much indeed.
Simon, I hope you don't mind me asking you this question, but and you can free to admit the personal facts if you like, but I'm just curious about my own background. I feel like I've been here for a long time trying to affect good change, and but I feel like now's the time that things are really coming to a head on the planet.
Well, look, you could have come here when there was no radio. You could have come here when the only way you could talk to people was standing on a sidewalk and shouting at people. But that isn't effective. So you came to the planet when the technology of this planet was at a level that you would be able to harness that for good purposes and to create a platform for all good people to come and share and spread the message. And we've never in the history of this planet had the opportunity to reach so many people with good messages. And that is what you're doing. And you're an ambassador in your own way. You're an ambassador for truth. And there are lots of us over the planet, and there are more to come.
Oh, thank you so much for telling me that. Simon, I appreciate your support so much. I feel like I had a life back in Atlantis about 12,500 years ago. I and my friends back then tried to turn things around, but there was this crazy small clique of what was called then, what is called now the military-industrial complex, and they ended up destroying much of the planet in a nuclear war. Many of those same spirits are back today, but I feel that many of them have also learned their lessons too, and they don't want to make the same mistakes they did back then. And that's why the planet, among other reasons, is turning around.
Yes, that's a key point. When a person goes through a cataclysm that Atlantis went through, and indeed other places have gone through, I use the word trauma, you are so shocked by what you've seen that many of us, many would say, I never want to see that again. What can I do to ensure that we don't make the same mistake. Mm-hmm. And those people become warriors for truth, warriors for light, because they've got nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. They've been through the worst, mm-hmm. and they can see that the human race is building up again, and they're absolutely determined to see it through. The problem with Atlantis is that it fell upon advanced technologies. The Atlanteans had a form of time travel, mm-hmm. and it was male and female, but the females in Atlantis were quite dominant, mm-hmm. and Lumeria was much more of a male Machiavellian type in political environment, mm-hmm. and the two city-states, or the two dividing energies, couldn't work together, because at that time it wasn't going to happen. And of course there was this war, right. So those people then, both from Atlantis and Lumeria, went to the Hollow Earth, mm-hmm. and then from the Hollow Earth they realized that they were hiding underground, and that was no good. You needed to come onto the surface and do a bit of good, mm. and many of us now are out there trying to do a bit of good.
Wow, wonderful. Well, every year I take a group of people to Mount Shasta, and we get in contact with the people of Lemuria, and we have just an amazing time. And sometime you're welcome to come along anytime you like, Simon. I'll be doing that July 2nd through the 8th, and September 6th through the 11th. But we always get in contact with the Lemurians. And there's something else interesting too, I was told by another psychic last year. This area, Simon, from Vancouver Island in Canada down to Mount Shasta, was once part of Lemuria, but after this war that happened 12,500 years ago with the Atlanteans, part of Lemuria broke off and it settled on the U.S. West Coast in this area. And I think that's one of the reasons why the consciousness out in this particular part of North America is very high, and we have a lot of psychics and spiritual work being done from Mount Shasta north to Vancouver Island.
I don't have any knowledge on that, mm-hmm. but that would make perfect sense. What I can say, mm-hmm. is that the war between Lumeria and Atlantis caused the melting of the last ice age.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Because the last ice age melted around the 12,000-year mark.
Okay, that would make sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the temperature was raised, mm-hmm. with the weapons that were used,
right.
So the temperature on the within the Earth's atmosphere raised, mm-hmm. and it created quite a melting of the ice.
Well, the old ways don't work. That was proved during the destruction of Atlantis. And one thing that my friend Albert Einstein is just telling me now, the definition it was funny what he said. He said the definition of his insanity is doing something again and again the same way and expecting different results. So
<That's good.
laughs> these entities who were back in Atlantis and blew up this planet, much of the planet, with nuclear weapons back then, why do they think that things are going to be different now if they use nuclear weapons again? They're not going to be.
No, and what's important here is because they are trapped in an energy cycle, mm-hmm. in a circle. Mm-hmm. They are incapable of breaking out of it, and all they're doing is replicating the same thing, and that is because it is not their time to evolve in this life, and therefore they are going to have to be given another chance, another choice, some other time.
Sure. And I know that Gaia, I don't think she will want them back, frankly.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, there's a
definitely not.
Yeah, they'll go
it's
off.
It's time for the great big animal to shake its hairy back and send the fleas off.
That's funny. By the way, real quick, we've got about 2 minutes left. I have to ask you, how are your cats doing?
They're fine, thank
Good.
You.
Good.
They're doing really well. And we're waiting for winter to end here. We're still in our winter phase. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, because they are Norwegian forest cats, they tend to grow their coats. Come the summer, then their coats will get a bit thinner.
Oh, how fun. Yeah, I've got a big fluffy cat called Fluffy, and he's an orange kitty cat.
Very original Ted.
Yeah, well, he likes the name, I guess. He recently went to college and got a driver's license, so he helps me out driving around now. But anyway, Simon, we have about a minute left, and I want to give you the rest of the time to end your wonderful interview today.
Well, I'm just going to ask people to support you and support your radio show, to send donations to you, Ted, for the wonderful work you're doing.
Thank you.
You know, to realize that you know, it's easier to sit in an armchair and listen. It's much harder to do. And so for those who are too busy or not able to do, then send some donations to Ted and the radio show, because he is the man that's doing it.
Well, thank you so much, Simon. I really appreciate that support. My website is www.outofthisworld1150.com. And also, too, you can come to my conference next month and listen to Simon giving a presentation.
Looking forward to it, Ted.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Simon, I want to thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your wisdom. I always enjoy having you on, and I hope you have a wonderful and happy evening there. Thank you so much again for coming on, Simon.
Well, listen, God bless to you, Ted, and God bless to all your listeners, and thank you for inviting me.
All right, Simon. Have a wonderful day. Thank you again for coming on.
Take care.
Thanks Bye-bye. So much.